Well, good morning. We're glad that you're listening to Wyndham Community Chapel service of June 14th, 2020. My name is Pastor Gary DeHaas, and it's good to have you listening in from your homes today. And as we spend this time together in the presence of God and His Word, I pray that this service will be a blessing to you. Now, I hope that you're enjoying the Bible studies that I've been sending out each Tuesday morning, because it's my hope and prayer that you will desire to spend time with God, not just in church on Sunday when we meet together, either remotely or together, but each day of your life, you'll spend time with God in His Word, that you will allow God to speak to you into your life through His words to you. I want to encourage you to keep sending in those prayer requests that you might have that we may not be aware of. Send them in to us so that we can pray for them here when we meet together remotely, but also so we can send it out to our church family, that we can be sharing in prayer those needs and concerns that you may have on your heart. Well, Philippians chapter 2 calls us into worship today. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's begin by praying together this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for meeting with us today as we gather together remotely. It is our desire to lift you up and bring glory to your name as we worship you today. At the very outset of our time together, I ask that your Spirit open our hearts to you. Allow us to see your heart and be drawn to your word as you speak into our lives today. We acknowledge that you are our exalted King. We affirm that in your presence and at the mention of your name, we bow in humility to our Savior and Lord. You have saved us from our terminal sin condition. You have rescued us and welcomed us into the kingdom of God through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So today, in light of who you are and what you have accomplished on our behalf, we offer our worship to you. May the words that we offer in praise to you and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you this day, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a few reminders for us today as we share this time together. Next week is the conclusion of the Branches Pregnancy Resource Center Baby Bottle Campaign. And this year, due to the COVID-19 crisis, we haven't passed out physically those baby bottles, but I want to encourage you to send in those checks to Branches Pregnancy Resource Center. Continue to support this ministry that protects the lives of the unborn, that equips and encourages moms and dads to train their children to be godly people. Runs through next Sunday, which is Father's Day. Also, just our weekly update about where we are in regards to opening up church. We are still under the 25% capacity rule put out there by the Governor Scott, the governor of Vermont. And that means that we can have about 28 people in the auditorium. And that means that we also are going to be wearing masks and practice 6-foot distancing. And there's not going to be nursery or children's ministry. And we will provide hand sanitizer. The facility will be thoroughly cleaned using CDC guidelines. We're still not going to have fellowship time afterwards or handshaking or hugging. Sorry, folks. And it's still recommended that those who are in the high-risk category not venture out to church, public gatherings at this time. Now, we still believe that in the near future, these regulations will be eased up so that we can all gather together again safely here in worship. And we'll keep you in the loop on when that's going to be. But for now, this is the situation we find ourselves in. Also, thank you for those who are faithfully giving to the work of the Lord during this time, even when we haven't been seeing each other and gathering together. I just want to encourage you to continue to send in that offering or bring it with you if you happen to come to the service. And we'll be careful to use that money to pay our bills and continue to reach out with the gospel of Christ here and through our missionaries, really, all around the world. Let's spend just a few minutes today in prayer and bringing our requests before our Heavenly Father. Almighty God, as we come before you today, we come, as always, with a mixture of praise and thanksgiving, bringing joys and concerns to you. We praise your name and thank you for our many, many blessings. You are the God who never fails to keep his promises to us, your children. And we thank you that in Jesus' life and his death and in his resurrection, we see your love, we see your justice, your mercy, your provision, and your victory on our behalf. You are the God who lifts up those who are weighed down. You are the God who provides perfectly for his children. Lord, we acknowledge how great you really are. You are a refuge and strength, a very present help in times of our trouble. You alone are our good shepherd. In you there is abundant life. In you we lack nothing. You lead us to green pastures, and you lead us beside those still waters. You restore our anxious and our weary souls. And even in the darkest valleys, we will not fear, for you are right here walking with us. You are always attentive to us. You provide for us. You guide us. You watch behind us and you go before us. We find safety and comfort and peace and joy in your loving care for us. We cast our cares on you because we know that you care for us. For you tell us that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So, Father, for those struggling with illness or physical concerns, we ask for your healing touch to be upon their lives. We ask that you provide for patient endurance and for an increased ability to lean on you in these days. For when we are weak, then you are strong. For those struggling with relational concerns, I pray for peace to be their measure in these days. I pray for willingness to forgive when it becomes necessary. I pray for a liberal dose of grace and humility towards one another. And I pray for your Spirit's healing touch for hurts and injuries sustained. Father, as our world has turned upside down during these last 3 months, we have been given more time in our lives free from our usual obligations. Help us to use this time wisely for your kingdom. Give us the desire to reach out to those in need in our community with acts of kindness and love, motivated by our compassion for them and our love for you. Help us to deepen and strengthen our relationship with you. Lord, you don't waste anything that happens in our lives. In your providence, you use all things for our good and your glory. Help us to pursue after that. Help us to discover that. And help us, Father, to embrace that. Now, Lord, as we open your word, I ask that you draw our hearts to you. I ask that you open our spiritual eyes to see the truths that you have for us today in our lives. Give us wisdom and discernment that we might discover how to apply it to our lives today and in the days ahead. Most of all, Father, may the desire of our hearts be to follow your will and not our own as we hear from you this morning. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to Psalm 23. So we've been working our way through Psalm 23 over the last, this will be the fifth week. We come to verse 4. The sermon is entitled, God's Answer for Dark Valleys. The Apostle James, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." Well, if you're anything like me, you long for the results in verse 4 without the process that's found in verse 2. Trials, difficulty, struggles, pain, suffering, whatever adjectives you attach to it, it is the way to maturity in our relationship to God. Now, some Christians have realized this and decided maturity isn't all that important. Yet they still seem to struggle and experience problems in their life. As you've already discovered, life is difficult, especially for believers in Jesus Christ. We live in a world dominated by sin and its resulting problems. All the while, we are in the process of being made into the likeness of Christ. Throughout His Word, God tells us to take good times and bad times to make mature, godly people. So today, we're going to look at God's answer to the dark valleys we face in our lives. If you hear nothing else from today's message, and I hope you do, hear this. Even in our darkest valleys, our darkest days, God is there. The psalmist reminds us of this in our text, where he writes, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." What is a dark valley? Well, I came across a good example of one when I read this poem called "A Psalm in a Hotel Room." It writes, "I'm alone, Lord, alone, 1,000 miles from home. There's no one here who knows my name except the clerk, and he spelled it wrong. No one to eat dinner with, laugh at my jokes, listen to my gripes, be happy with me about what happened today and say that's great. No one cares. There's just this lousy bed and slush in the streets outside between the buildings. I feel sorry for myself, and I've plenty of reason to. Maybe I ought to say, I'm on top of it. Praise the Lord. Things are great, but they're not. Tonight, it's all gray slush." Dark valleys in life are rough times that we undergo and are unique to each one of us. They describe times when life overcomes us and we are defeated by its effects. In case you are wondering, there is a real valley of the shadow of death in Israel. It's a steep and narrow canyon. The sun only hits the bottom of it when it's directly overhead at high noon. For most of the day, the bottom of the canyon is dark. It is likely that David led his sheep through this valley time and time again as a young boy. The literal translation of the phrase "valley of the shadow of death" means the valley of deep darkness. Into this dark time in your life, God promises His help, His presence, and His comfort. For when you're in the middle of dark valleys, you need to remember that valleys are inevitable. They are going to happen. They cannot be totally avoided. Valleys happen throughout life, and sometimes they pile on top of one another. Some say they come in threes. I'm not sure that's true, but sometimes they seem to not let up. Jesus reminds us that in the world you will have trouble. It's not a matter of if, it's when. It's going to happen. You're going to face difficulties, disappointments, and be discouraged in this life. They are a normal part of life. So don't be surprised by it. But valleys are also unpredictable. I wish this one wasn't true. Valleys are always unexpected. It seems as though they always come at the worst time. When you're in a hurry or when you're unprepared. Have you ever had a flat tire at a good time? They just happen. How about receiving bad news? There is never a good time for that, but sometimes are worse than others. It would be great if we could schedule our downtimes in life, but we don't have that kind of control. Valleys come suddenly. They are unpredictable, and they can forever alter our lives. This has always been so. The prophet Jeremiah in the Old Testament said, "Disaster follows disaster. In an instant, my tents are destroyed. My shelter falls in a moment." But then notice that valleys are impartial. No one gets a free pass from the valleys of life. They fall upon the rich and the poor alike. The believer and the unbeliever are equally susceptible. Valleys are not a respecter of persons. No one is insulated from pain and sorrow in this life. Problems, trials, difficulties, disturbances, downtimes, depression doesn't mean you're a bad person. It means you're a person. The Bible is very clear that good things happen to bad people, and sometimes bad things happen to good people. Valleys are impartial. They don't care how good or bad you are. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, Jesus said, "It rains on the just and the unjust too." Now, naturally, we would prefer all sunshine and no rain in life. We would love to have all the good times without having to experience difficult times. But life doesn't work that way. But that doesn't often change our expectations. We expect to only have pleasant and good times. How do I know that? Most times when we are going through a valley, our first reaction is, "Why me?" Yet, really, you should ask, "Why not me?" Do you think you should be exempt from all the problems everybody else has to go through? Remember, this is not heaven. Things are not perfect here, and there are problems and difficulties. They are going to happen in life to good people, to Christians. Disasters and tragedies happen to all of us. And then recognize that valleys are temporary. It's good to know that they won't last forever. They have an end to them. David says, "Even though I walk through the valley." The valley is not something you stay in your entire life. It's something you go through, a circumstance, a situation that has a season to it. It is momentary, though it may seem like it is lasting forever when you're going through it. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 says, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials." There is wonderful joy ahead after the valleys of life. Peter here is talking about heaven in this passage. In heaven, there are no problems or suffering or tears. In a little while, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's where you're going. Remember, our troubles are short-lived, and there is an eternal glory which outweighs them all. But, he says, there is an eternal glory. Pain can be productive And in it, God has our attention. In other words, there will be a benefit for our problems if we respond the right way. While we have the problems that last a little while, there is long-term eternal benefits when you go through a valley and respond to it correctly. And then finally, valleys are intentional. God has a reason for taking you through the valleys. Whether it is doubt or depression or despair or discouragement or defeat, he's got a reason behind it. After Peter had talked about valleys being temporary, in the next verse, in verse 7, he says, "These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." This is no accident. It happens to prove your faith. The valleys are not just a happenstance. God wants to build your faith in the valleys of life. We love to enjoy the mountaintops, but you don't build faith on the mountaintops. You build faith in the valleys of life. Our tendency is that when life is going great, we forget or at least neglect God. But when you come face to face with a dark valley, you're driven to your knees. When you don't feel like serving and trusting God, praising God, that's where your faith is tested. Not in the good times of life, but in the valleys. Since God can only have your best interest at heart, he brings valleys into your life to increase your faith. He wants you to develop the character of God. And in order to do this, you must undergo difficulties and trials here on earth. Even Jesus had to deal with suffering during his time on earth. He didn't get a free pass. Why do you think we will or should? Jesus went through times of loneliness, and you will too. Jesus was tempted to be discouraged. You will face this as well. Jesus was many times misunderstood and criticized unjustly. You should expect the same. Many of these valleys in Jesus' life came at the hands of the religious leaders. So you shouldn't be surprised when your valleys are the direct result of fellow believers either. Now, let's be clear. God does not cause accidents and tragedies. God is a good God and he cannot cause evil. He is holy and just. However, our God can and does use accidents and tragedies for good, both in our lives and through us to others. He can use even the evil done to us by others, turn it around and bring good out of it by building character in us. So when you're in the middle of dark valleys, when you're there, you need to respond by first refusing to be discouraged. David said, "I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Evil, which is the result of sin and comes from its author, Satan, is not something to fool around with. It is powerful and overcomes many people, even believers, whose resistance is without God's help. Evil ought to be feared by two groups of people. One, those who are outside the protection of God due to their refusal to trust in him as their Savior. But then second group is those Christians who are living in their own strength and have chosen to be the master of their own life. These people are in grave danger of being overwhelmed by evil as they endure the dark valleys of this life. But for the Christian who puts his faith in God, the psalmist says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Notice it says, I walk, not I run through, or I panic and run the other way. To walk means calmly, deliberately make steps through the valley. David says, I am not going to be afraid. I will calmly walk through this valley. You see, you can refuse to be discouraged. How does that work? The key is the companion that walks with you through the valleys of life. Because of his presence, you can say with the psalmist, I will not fear evil. Will implies a choice, a decision. I will not be afraid. Have you ever asked someone, how are you doing this morning? And have them respond, pretty good under the circumstances. When people do that to me, I'm always tempted to respond, well, what in the world are you doing under the circumstances? In Christ, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So, what are you doing under the circumstances? See, being discouraged is a choice. And you can choose to change it as well. That's what God wants you to do. Choose. It's a conscious choice. And how do you do that? By focusing on God's power rather than on the problem. That's how you do it. The difference is what you're focusing on. You need to focus not on your circumstance, but on Christ. Not on the situation, but on your Savior. Not on your problem, but on the power of God. Colossians chapter 1, verse 11 says, being strengthened by God with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. Do you remember the time that Jesus sent his 12 disciples out onto the Sea of Galilee and he stayed behind to pray? It was right after Jesus performed the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 with two fish and five loaves of bread. After spending considerable time alone with his heavenly Father, Jesus met the boat somewhere out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. Well, no, he didn't get in another boat, but he walked on the water to get to them. And when the disciples saw him coming, Scripture tells us that they were terrified. They thought it was a ghost, and they were afraid. Matthew chapter 14, verse 27 picks up the account. It says, but Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus reached out his hand, caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. You see, it was in the presence of God that fear is dispelled. It is only when we keep our eyes on Jesus and not the dark valleys that life's problems are overcome. In the valleys of life, you need a power source bigger than yourself. Psalm chapter 34, verse 18 says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. Well, that leads us right into the second response. Remembering that God is with me. David said, for you will be with me. God not only promises us his power in the valley, he promises his presence. You will never go through a valley in life by yourself. Isaiah 43 verse 2 says, "When you pass through the waters, I, God, will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze." Though you may feel overwhelmed, God says, "I am with you, and you're going to make it." God says there is nothing to fear when Jesus is near. He is with you, upholding you with his righteous right hand as you lean on him. He will not let you fall. I often would like to like God to take the problem away, but many times he's not going to do that. Instead, he promises to be with us in the boat as we sail through the storms of life. It is in his presence that brings comfort and assurance of victory over the dark valleys in our lives. Well, at this point in Psalm 23, there is a noticeable change in the language. In the first part of the psalm, all of the pronouns are in the third person. He talks about God, like, "He leads me beside still waters. He guides me into green pastures. He restores my soul." David is talking about God. But when he gets in the valley, it changes to second person pronouns. He starts talking not about God, but to God. "You are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me." It's in the valleys of life that we encounter God face to face. God is not some celestial being living somewhere out there, but a personal, intimate God who lives within each one of his children. The promise that he will never leave nor forsake us takes on new meaning for us when we go through dark valleys. Merely going through the routines of being a Christian no longer satisfies. You don't need religion, you need a relationship with the God of all mercy and grace. And God will never be closer to you than when you go through the valleys of life. Well, then, number three, we need to be relying on God's protection and guidance. Specifically, God gives us help in two ways. They are illustrated through the shepherd's rod and staff. Their primary function was to protect and guide the sheep. A rod was short, usually about 2 feet long, and at the end of it was a heavy knot. Shepherds would often throw it at anything that would be attacking the sheep. God is saying, "When you go through the valley, I'm defending you. I'm protecting you." For God's protection is active and vigilant. The good shepherd fights for you. In the midst of your dark valley, you're not alone. The good shepherd is your defender and protector. That's what the rod represents. But not only does he use the rod to protect you, he uses his staff to comfort you. A staff was a long stick with a crook at the end, and most of us are probably familiar with this instrument. The shepherd uses a staff to guide and to comfort. For the smaller sheep, he will use the staff to lift them up when they're down. When danger is near, he uses the staff to bring them in close where he can protect them. He also uses the staff to guide them down the right path on their journey. It is used to send them along the path of righteousness that will feed them, protect them, and eventually lead them home. Psalm chapter 34, verse 19 reminds us, "A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all." The key to experiencing the victory over the dark valleys in your life is God. his presence, his help, and his comfort. This comes only to those who are righteous, who live by faith, and whose life is characterized by obedience to his will. To everyone who is experiencing a dark valley in their life right now, or will in the near future, God says to you this morning from John chapter 16, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. We are overcomers in Christ, and through his power unleashed in our lives through faith in him. God's answer to dark valleys in your life is him, and you need nothing else. It is enough. Let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful for your presence in our lives, especially when we are experiencing difficult times. For your presence brings comfort deep in our souls as we know we're not alone and you are walking with us. All you are and all your promises to us as your children are ours instantly because you walk with us. Since faith unleashes this into our lives, I ask that you help us to walk by faith and not by sight, which I tend to do so often. Thank you for your help in our times of trouble. Thank you for the assurances of your word that remind us that nothing we face is too big for you to overcome or too complex for you to resolve. As we walk by faith, we too may overcome the challenges we face and difficulties we encounter because you have overcome sin and death on our behalf. All we need is found in you and nowhere else. Therefore, I ask that you increase our faith when it is weak and turn our hearts to you in times of trouble. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today I'd like to dismiss us with this benediction from Revelation chapter 5. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wisdom and wealth and strength and honor and glory and praise. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. Amen. I trust you have a great week. May the Lord bless you.